Yeah, and then here Jonah is now down in the fish belly, down in the bottom of the sea, it says, for 3 days and three nights. Oh, yes, he was. And Jonah said, it's time now for me to pray. Yes, don't you see him when seaweeds wrapped around his head and in the stinking stuff in that fish belly walking all around, not able to realize which way was up or which way was down. My God, but I see him in my mind's eye, put one elbow in the one side of the fish and another elbow in the other side of the fish and bowed down on bended knees. Oh, yes, he did. And I hear him saying, now, Lord, here I am, down here at the door of Sheol. Yeah, Lord, I know I was a bigot. I was full of prejudice and I was a racist for wanting those Ninevites to die. But here I am acknowledging to you now, Lord, that I did wrong. Yeah, you know, if you ever do wrong, just telling the Lord I've done wrong would make things change. Did you hear what I'm saying? I've been wrong, Lord. And look here what he said. Give me just one more chance. Oh, Lord. Is there anybody in here tonight ever told the Lord one more chance? Can I get a witness? Have you ever been down and out and told the Lord, if you let me get up one more time? Did you hear what I'm saying? Have you ever been sick and told the Lord, let me get on my feet just one more time? Oh, Lord, give me one more chance. Yeah, and he prayed, and I mean shown up prayed. Can I get a witness? Anybody here tonight know that the Lord will hear and won't he answer prayer? I know he will. Now, Lord. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Oh, give me just one more chance. Can I get a witness? And God looked down and touched that fish and made the fish get sick of Jonah, and then touched Jonah and made Jonah get sick of the fish, and that old fish began moving and wagging his tail, going topside, and got over to the bank and puked old Jonah out. God picked him up, brushed him off, put his feet on solid ground, turned him around, and I heard him say, where you go now? Yeah, go. Can I get a witness? I go. Yeah. I go. If you know he's all right, let me hear tonight. Say yeah! Say yeah! Say yeah! Oh, yeah! up in this house. Yeah, I feel all right. Oh, I feel all right. Oh, I feel all right. I'm trying to stop, Reverend. But I feel all right up in here. If you're not too mean, why don't you put your arm around your brother and put your arm around your sister and get real close to them. Get real close, real close. And just tell them, I don't know what's gonna happen to our race. Tell them, but God will make a way.
You were blessed and revived by the KAYT Gospel Hour as we venture back in the past for a time of revival with oldies and goodies in sermon and song.
Lead me on.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul.
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
It's fall. Trees are shedding leaves. Our minds are turning to planning for the holidays ahead as we will celebrate the upcoming seasons of sharing with family and friends. The Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church with the senior pastor, Reverend Joseph Garner, located 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville, Louisiana, announces its annual fall revival, taking place on Monday, October 26th through Wednesday, October 28th, 2015, 7 o'clock p.m. nightly. This year's guest revivalist will be the renowned the Reverend John Terrence Tate of the First Thessalonian Missionary Baptist Church of Memphis, Tennessee.
Still ain't feeling me. Many, many of us, we come to this convention, we go to our various churches, and we put our faith in the pool and not in God's power. Okay, you sitting there like you're saved, sanctified, and sedated, but let me talk to you for a minute. A lot of you put your faith in the pool of your career, comfort, connections, your cash, your credentials, your car, your calling, your cute and cuddly colleagues, your man, your money, your medicine, your ministry, your accomplishments, your anointing, your achievements, and your approval. And God says, don't put your faith in a pool, but put it in my power. The reason why I'm standing here today is not because I'm so good, but I put my trust in his power.
God's word states in Proverbs 15:23, says, a man by the answer of his mouth and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Come and be a part of the Pleasant Hill annual revival experience taking place Monday, October 26th through Wednesday, October 28th, 7 o'clock p.m. nightly. Come and hear a word in due season and be joyous.
God has for me feels for me. And I don't know who I'm preaching to this evening, but I just stopped down to tell you, don't give up, because it got to get better. Don't give up, it's got to get better.
Additional information, you may feel free to phone the church at 337-238-1779. That's 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church and Pastor Reverend Joseph Gardner is a proud sponsor of 88.1 FM Alexandria, 92.5 FM Shreveport, 98.9 FM Monroe.
When we get to heaven, yeah, we're gonna really
take it. Chapter 3. Remain standing if you can. Habakkuk chapter 3. Those of you who were here last Sunday, you will recall that this is exactly where we were on last Sunday. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And I held you a long time last Sunday. I just got excited. Amen. And the truth should be told, I didn't finish the sermon last Sunday. So what I'm going to do this morning, since I held you long last week, I'm going to hold you just for a little while today and give you the closing of this message, A Yet Praise. Amen. A Yet Praise, part 2. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, it reads, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the Lord, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor's going to tell us the rest of the story. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. A Yet Praise, part 2. Amen. On last Sunday, thank you, ushers, we shared with you how important it is as people of God to develop a yet praise. Amen. We shared with you historically how in this book of Habakkuk, it really starts off with the people of God, the prophet of God, complaining. Amen. Amen. Talking about all that was wrong. But by the end of the story, by the end of the book, amen, we find that the people of God are celebrating. And so they move from complaint to celebration. And we told you last Sunday that in between the complaints and the celebration was communication. In other words, the only way to get from a complaining spirit and a negative spirit and a negative attitude is you have to communicate with God. Amen. You've got to develop a prayer life. And we say so often in the church that prayer is not a monologue. It is a dialogue. Amen. You know, I do know a few folk who, when you're talking to them on the phone or wherever, amen, you sometimes I find that I'm just a listener. Amen. Y'all know anybody like that? That they hold up the whole conversation. They do all the talking, and we say this, we can't get a word in edgewise. And some of us treat God like that. Amen. We get on our knees, and we have a talk with God. We tell him about all of our problems and all of our trials and all of our troubles. Amen. All this mess we've gotten ourselves into, and then we crawl in the bed and go to sleep. But real, true communication involves a dialogue. It means that not just one party is talking, but both people are talking and listening. And so if we are going to do like the people of God in our text and move from a spirit of negativity, a spirit of complaint, a spirit of murmuring, to a spirit of celebration, then we need to spend some real solid time talking to God, but not just talking to him, also listening to him. For the whole part of our fall Bible study, we dealt with that topic, amen, learning to listen to God, how important it is to hear what God has to say to you. Is there anybody in here today who will testify along with your pastor that I would not have made it as far as I've made it or as well as I've made it if I did not get a word from God? He's been talking to me. Come on. Come on, how many of you can say that he's been talking to me? Woo. I don't know about y'all, but I would be depressed every day if God didn't speak some encouraging words into my heart and into my spirit. See, because now in actuality, as believers, as a family of believers, we ought to exhort one another. We ought to encourage one another. But I don't know what it is about church folks. Sometimes we're the most difficult people to deal with. And sometimes church folk, amen, are the very ones who will kick you when you fall. When you need an encouraging word, amen, they'll look at you like you deserve what's happening to you. You deserve what you're going through, amen. Forgetting that, amen, what you're going through today, if you're not careful, amen, it could be you tomorrow. But when you can't talk to nobody else, you can talk to God. I say when you can't get an encouraging word from anybody else, you can get an encouraging word from the Lord. Do I have a witness here today? And so even though this book starts out with complaint and negativity, it ends up with celebration because of the communication that's going on with God. Now, we told you that of all of the faith passages in the Bible, this particular passage in the minds of many theologians is by far the greatest. As a matter of fact, this verse is called an inimitable statement of faith because it reaffirms the fact that the real genius of faith lies in its ability to stand up in the midst of struggle. See, my brothers and sisters, if we're going to be the kind of people that God wants us to be, we've got to learn how to develop the ability to be able to praise God even when things aren't going well. Amen. On the basis of the definition of praise, praise is what we offer to God because of what he's done. That's right. And we told you last week that a lot of us know about because of praise, but we don't have yet praise. And I also told you that there ain't nothing wrong with because of praise. I said there's nothing wrong with because of praise. You ought to praise him because of what he's done. You ought to praise him because of how good he's been. As a matter of fact, shame on you if you don't tell God, amen, thank you for being good to you. And see, a lot of folk come in here with these halos on their heads, and they've gone, you know, gotten a few degrees behind their name and all of that, and so they have changed their shout into, you know, a more, you know, amen. They used to say, amen. But now them degrees, you know, they go, amen. Under your breath. But everybody in here ought to have a because of praise. Come on, come on, come on. You ain't looking good, amen, just because of Dove soap. You ain't looking good just because of all of, what is all of Olake? Amen. Amen. God has been good to you. I said God has been good to you. And shame on you if you can't come into his presence. Now, he's everywhere. But we do recognize that when we come into the sanctuary, the psalmist said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. That tells me, amen, that when I come into the sanctuary of the Most High God, I ought to be reminiscing on some stuff he's done for me. And y'all, I don't know about you, but when I think about, when I think about the goodness of Jesus,
And watch this. All the stuff he's done for me, wait, I ain't finished yet, in spite of me. So the only way you can come in here and fold your arms and cross your legs and not ever say anything is because you somehow have duped yourself into believing that you deserve all of the blessings. You deserve him waking you up this morning. No, you don't. Amen. No, you don't. Come on. Come on. Just can we have a reality check right here? Just think about some of the stuff you have done. So a lot of us don't get into praise because we come in here thinking about what everybody else did. We experts, amen, on what she did, on what he did, where he went, where she went. Amen. We know everybody's business. And with our selective memories, we forget the dirt that we have done. The real praisers. That's what this yet praise is all about. Amen. To thank God for because of praise, but what we want to get you to understand is that as a believer, you ought to have a yet praise. And so the text says that even when the bottom is falling out, even when the bills are not paid, watch this, not only are they not paid, you don't know how they're going to get paid. You got a yet praise. Oh, don't act like you ain't never been there. Don't act like you've never been there. Amen. When you didn't know how that bill was going to get paid. But is there anybody up in here this morning who will testify that when you turn that thing over to Jesus, you don't know how he's going to work it out, but tell your neighbor he will work it out. Amen. And so yet praise says that even though everything is wrong, Habakkuk tells us the reality of the situation. Look at it again. The people were going through a season of unfulfilled expectations because they expected the crops to come through and produce. They expected the sheep and the cattle to flourish. They were in a season when there were no visible signs that God was on their side. And so they had to learn how to praise God anyhow. That's what a yet praise is all about. And I told you the meaning of the words rejoice and will joy in the original language, in the Hebrew, alaz, A-L-A-Z, is the Hebrew word for rejoice. And we told you that it means what? Jump for joy. And we told you that will joy in this text literally means to spin around under the influence of violent emotion. In other words, when I think about something here, what is it that I'm thinking about? What is it that I'm focusing on that allows me to give God a yet praise? Well, that's what I want to show you. The reason the people of God in our text were able to give God a yet praise is because, number one, they focused on the person of the Lord. A yet praise. A yet praise gives God the glory even when all hell is breaking loose in your life. A yet praise magnifies God even when you see no evidence of his favor. Habakkuk, you have to explain to me the reasons for your reaction. How were you able to muster up a yet praise? Amen. How can you muster up a yet praise when life is crazy? 3 points and I'm out of here. We're out of here. Amen. Amen. Number one, because his focus was on the person of the Lord. Look at the text. He says, I will rejoice, what? In the Lord. I will joy where? In the God of my salvation. And y'all, in the Lord means that the Lord is the object of his praise. And in the Lord is the location for his praise. I want that to marinate. I want you to think about it. Amen, amen, amen. Let me say it one more time. Amen. In the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord means that the Lord is the object of his praise. But not only is in the Lord the object of his praise, in the Lord is the location for his praise. Oh my, let me help you. Habakkuk says, I know that the fig tree is not blossoming. I know that the vines are producing no grapes. I know that the olive crops have failed. I know the fields aren't yielding any food. I know there are no sheep in the pen. I know there are no cattle in the stalls, but I ain't focusing on that. So that's why some of you don't have any joy, because you're only focusing on what's wrong. You're only focusing on the negative. You're only focusing on the pain in your body, the sickness, the bad report that you've gotten. I dare you, I double dare you, amen, instead of focusing on what's wrong, focus on God. Do I have any witnesses here? Focus on him. See, you might not be able to find a reason to praise and worship anything else, but you can always look toward the one who is from everlasting to everlasting. Tell your neighbor, seasons change, but God don't. Doesn't. Hallelujah, bless the Lord. If the prophet had been rejoicing because of figs and olives, then his reason for rejoicing was now over. But Habakkuk was not focusing on the figs. He was focusing on the giver of the figs. In the Lord means that Habakkuk's trouble is not the only thing that he is in. See, some of us get so obsessed with the trouble that we're in, the mess that we're in, the confusion that we're in. But if you could ever wake up and realize that you're not just in trouble, you're supposed to be in the Lord. Do I have any witnesses here today? Amen. I'm in the Lord. I'm in the Lord. That's why I don't let people bother me. I don't let them bother me with what they say and what they think. Amen. Because I realize that, yeah, you're talking about me, but where you're messing up is I'm in the Lord. That's why the Bible says, touch not my anointed. Do I have a witness here today? I'm in the Lord. That's why I can smile even with sorrow all around, because I'm in the Lord. That's why when my money is funny and my change is strange, I can still have joy, because I'm in the Lord. And is there anybody here today who has found out that when you're in the Lord, no matter what's happening around you, if you're in him, you can have a yet praise? Because you know that whatever's happening around you, he can handle it. Whatever folk are saying, he can handle it. Whatever the economy is doing, he can handle it. I'm not just in a bad economy. I'm in the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. When you're in Christ, you're always in more than the situation you're in. So you're not just in trouble, but you're also in the Lord. Thus, you can offer a yet praise because his focus was on the person of the Lord. Tell your neighbor, focus on the person of the Lord. But not only that, secondly, Habakkuk was able to give a yet praise because he was leaning on the power of the Lord. Look at what he says. He says, the Lord God is my strength. See, some of y'all missed it. He does not say, the Lord gives me strength. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. The Lord actually, ooh, thank you, Jesus, became in Habakkuk what he could not be himself. So even when he did not feel like praising God, the Lord actually became his strength to worship. I'm not going to call her name because she's in the room and she'll get mad at me, but there's a member of our church. A couple of Sundays ago, I preached, and I guess I preached really hard. Amen. I preached really hard, and she came by the office, and she said, Pastor, you all right? Is everything all right? You preached so hard today. Is something wrong? I said, can I be very honest with you? And I told her, I said, you have no idea how tired I am in my flesh. I said, you have absolutely no idea, amen, how when I came to church